In this episode, I set out to discuss dividends, and I did that very thing with a Peter Greshens, and I had fun doing it, and I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you. Let me start with the beginning of the quote. By the way, these dividends can get pretty significant over a long period of time. I bought a policy from a major insurance company in 1959, and the annual dividend is over 10 times the annual premium now. They would have been much larger had I not used the annual dividend to reduce premiums for the first 15 years of that policy, issued in 1959. It's all now from 1959 to 2000. The dividend was 10 times greater than the annual premium. The annual dividend was 10 times greater than the annual premium, and they would have been even larger if he hadn't taken the dividend to reduce the premium. He stunted the growth of that policy. He stunted the velocity of the dividends in that policy. But then he takes full ownership and tells you, oh, this is what I did, and if I hadn't have done this, this would have occurred. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. I get it. Okay. I think I could like literally go on and on, but let me talk about structures for a minute, because and I'm almost tired. I know I've said it. You're probably tired of hearing it from me about structure of policy, but becoming your own banker, right? Page 38. Nelson tells you very clearly, when I use personally broad terms, properly structured, I know it's very broad. He tells you very specifically how to structure a policy to enjoy the benefits of becoming your own banker, controlling the banking function, having some of the interest that is going away from you in the form of finance costs to return to you. The equivalent of that interest can return to you when you practice the infinite banking concept. Maybe they will put up a graph on page 38. He tells you and the graph is a modified endowment contract graph. Where do policies fall on this MEC, modified endowment contract, timeline? He goes from term to ordinary life, life to paid up at age 65, 20 pay life to single premium life. Single premium life is a MEC. He draws this out simple, clear, easily understood, and then he discusses it. When using this type of life insurance to solve for your need for banking, it is best to select a plan, quote unquote, the base policy that is in the middle of the scale, in parentheses, such as ordinary life, or a life paid up at age 65, and add a paid up additions rider to the plan. And there's no place for term on there. There's no illustration that includes term in this book. We use term today to increase the death benefit so we can pay a higher premium into the paid up additions rider. And when you start going down that road, the further you go down that road, the more contortion you're doing. You're contorting a policy, and it is jeopardizing the integrity of that policy. I know that's very broad. There's more works. I'm just telling you, it's very clear on what policy to use and then how to build the policy. It's so not complicated. But now today you have all the new add-ons. Well, I'm smarter than Nelson. This has occurred. That's occurred. I can make it better. Bring in all of these other machinations, whatever they can imagine, and present to put in front of you to get you to say yes so they get paid. You know, it's normally Ryan Griggs and I have talked about this many, many times. Bigger number, sooner, better. No, not necessarily. Okay. And then I want to say, you know, we have a policy. He's got a base policy. Nelson Nash talks about a base policy, paid up at age 65 or ordinary life, the base policy, and then put a PUA rider on there. Let me say that participating policy, a policy issued by a mutual company that pays dividends. You're going to have a base whole life insurance policy, and it is going to have a paid up additions on there as a place to receive the dividends, because that's a guaranteed election that the contract owner has, is to send the dividends to the paid up additions. Paid up additions. And then I can add a rider, a paid up additions rider, whatever name they call it, the insurance company calls it. They all have at least one. Many of them have two. Some have three. Paid up additions rider. They're all called something different. And I can put that onto the policy. And then that is a dynamic PUA where I can pay a premium or not. Pay it within limits, a larger premium or a smaller premium. Dynamic and premium. Okay. Each one of those components of a policy pays a dividend. The base pays a dividend. The PUA pays a dividend. And the PUA rider or riders pay dividends. All right. And this is, I don't know, I think it's gold personally. Not every company, whenever they declare and pay and illustrate a dividend, they don't necessarily break out the dividend. So a dividend can be coming from the base, the PUA, and the PUA rider, or more than one PUA rider. They just illustrate it as a dividend. Okay? So me looking at illustrations, I, the consumer, can't determine a difference in a dividend from a base or a dividend paid from a PUA or a PUA rider. I can't tell. It's all one dividend. And a lot of companies don't break them down ever. They never distinguish between the places where the dividend's being paid from. Why is that important, James? Because I'm telling you, the base premium produces a greater dividend. And if you're not here, but we can walk through that and I can demonstrate why. The base premium pays the greatest dividend. Why is that important, James? Because I'm kind of on structure here, right? We contort these policies to have a great big PUA premium, and it's going to pay a small dividend compared to the base over time. But if you're thinking short term, it won't matter. It does not matter. If you're thinking long term, it absolutely does matter. So why in the world would I want to shrink the very policy, the component, the base part of a policy, the base portion of a policy that'll pay the smallest dividend over time? Why would I want to shrink that down if I'm thinking long term? I would not. And I don't think you would either. If there was more context to these policies and the structure, the PUA and the dividend. I think if there's broader context that you could see and understand, work through, think through, it might make your decisions, it might change your decisions. I could be wrong. All right, so if I wrap all that up, Nelson tells you the structure, you know, and I'm just expanding on that, where the dividends come from in a policy, and I'm emphasizing because it's true. The dividend paid from the base is a greater dividend than the PUA. But you're not necessarily going to be able to go look at these different life insurance companies' illustrations, and they all want you to make a decision based on the illustration, right? Of course they do. I know your case is different, so I'm speaking to the majority, okay? They don't even separate where the dividend comes from, so you can't clearly simply see, oh, that base dividend is really small because the base is really small. So the dividend is really small. Oh, and the PUA, it's a bigger dividend because it's a bigger PUA. But if I'd have switched those ratios and had the same premium allocated, paid to the base, had a higher base, the dividend would be much higher. Okay. And so then, and I want to say too, I think that's all I'm going to say on dividends. Yeah, that's really all I'm going to say on that. Oh, no, I want to wrap up with some Nelson's references. Well, before I get to these, all right, it's my mind. I can change it. So just went through the process of buying an automobile for my daughter. She's 17, doesn't have her driver's license yet. She'll have that at the end of the month. She has a learner's permit. So we're going to go buy her car. All right? And all that entails, you know, you want to finance the car, the whole dealership process, all the things that she's got to learn, payments, duration, interest rates. You know, 17-year-old girl, yeah, sure. I'm not interested. I just want a car. I got it. Okay. I have spent the last couple of days, not all, you know, 8 hours a day for 2 days, but I spent the last several days engaging. You know, we're going to go drive this car or that car. And very forthright, driving up, me and my lovely wife, the salt of the earth. I mean, I'm telling you, I married up. We just want to see cars, right? We want to see, choose which ones we're going to come back and drive with a daughter. There's a point to this, okay? All right. And so we tell them, yep, we're just looking, determining which ones we want to come back and drive. Oh, yeah, okay. They can't wait to give you their phone number, their card, take your phone number and what have you. Okay. Go to several dealerships, drive several cars, and the same thing. Sales manager comes out, want to put you in the headlock. And I'm not disparaging the people, the individual. I am specifically speaking about a process, okay? Specifically, the whole point of this, me even sharing this, is a process, right? The process, my humble opinion, that these dealerships use today is lost in the 90s, all right? James, why are you talking about a process? Because if you don't go through a legitimate, well-thought-out, well-balanced, well-rounded, broad process in buying a life insurance policy to practice the infinite banking concept, you're probably not going to get what you could have, which would have been better, and you'll likely be disappointed. My humble opinion. Okay. Thanks for letting me share that. And I can't wait because we did purchase a car. Now, maybe I'll talk about that later, how we did it and why we did it, how much, you know, policy loans did we use? Did we use any? Did we use all of their money at 3.99? You know, am I going to borrow money from the life insurance company at 5.85 or 6 or 7 or whatever it is? I'll get into that later. Okay. I want to wrap this back up with some quotes from Nelson, right? And why, James? Because Nelson got it done in this book. All of these other things, it's like some may be helpful, a lot maybe not, okay? I just want to say this. Page 20, becoming your own banker. Creating your own banking system through the use of dividend-paying life insurance is much like code generation. Here's a Forrester, educated as a Forrester, right? Thinking long-term. All the ingredients are already there in place. All you have to do is understand what is going on in such insurance plans and tap into the system. If all you have to do is understand, you might want to be acutely aware of where you get your understanding, okay? Not by somebody, you know, most people's understanding of life insurance, another quote by Nelson, is based on somebody else's misunderstanding. Make sure that's not the process that you're going through. Relying on somebody else's misunderstanding of the infinite banking concept. Even if they have the buzzwords sprinkled in, Nelson Nash, infinite banking concept, becoming your own banker, or whatever bastardization they may use. Okay. Second point I want to make in reference. Most of the illustrations were developed in 2000, the year 2000, and represent dividend scales in effect at that time. Presently, interest earnings are lower, and hence dividend scales are lower. But in comparison with other methods of financing the things of life, the difference in results remains the same. This is that comes from the fifth edition, page 3. Introduction to the fifth edition. The book was printed in 2000. The fifth edition comes out in 2008. Okay. And then a third reference I love this. The seven deadly sins. The second deadly sin is emphasizing short-term profits and immediate dividends. Page 67, the fifth edition. That can be applied when you're emphasizing short-term profits. That's exactly what these first-year high-premium, quote-unquote, dump-ins are. You're emphasizing, maybe not to the dividend or for the purpose of the dividend, but you're emphasizing the immediate short-term profits, quote-unquote, which is still not a profit. But the emphasis is on the short-term cash value. I think that second deadly sin, talking about dividends in reference to Nelson's, talking about dividends, can absolutely be applied to these first-year high-premium policies. All right, short-term thinking. The first-year dump-in, the skinny base, the real small base premium to emphasize short-term, quote-unquote, profits. It's a deadly sin by the author, the creator of the concept. I know your case is different, right? You know better. You've discovered something else, financial guru, that's much better in the infinite banking footprint. Okay, I digress a little. The fifth deadly sin. And if this doesn't resonate, if I can't make a connection here, we might not be able to make a connection anywhere. I don't know. The fifth deadly sin, quote unquote, running a company on visible figures. Running a company on visible figures. Is that not exactly what's going on when an agent or an advisor distorts a policy or puts you in a position to make a decision based on numbers on a page, illustration, shopping, comparing? Is that or is that not an example of the fifth deadly sin? All right. Open-ended question there. So, James, why did you talk about the process of buying a car? Because it's egregious. Did we get a car? Yes, we got a car. Are we controlling the banking function on that car? Yes. We stopped at a car lot on a Saturday, and there were so many people on that car, you couldn't even count them all. When we go back and close the deal during the week, I think on a Wednesday or Thursday, they had one F&I guy, right? One finance and insurance guy that y'all got to go through. You know, you go through the headlock with the salesman, which are nothing but they're not even glorified runners. God bless them. My heart went out to them. Can't do a thing but do the dog and pony show on the test drive or whatever, the features and what have you. They got to drag you back there to the F&I guy, right? And he's got to sell you all the extras and all of that, whatever, you know, we got a car, you know, we suffered through the process because we knew what we wanted. My whole point is that is a 1990s process. And the process that I see, I experience through clients coming that have worked with or started to engage with other people within this footprint, right? And the process that they get drugged through, in spite of the process, you know, they work through it and they get what they want, hopefully. And so that's my connection. You know, the process of buying a car is egregious. The process of buying life insurance in general is egregious. But the process within the infinite banking footprint, violating the five fundamentals that I've talked about forever, that Nelson clearly spoke about and wrote about, and then the deadly seven sins that nobody seems to talk about, their process is violating and stomping all over, committing at least two of the seven deadly sins. And people, in spite of all that, can still get what they want, which is to become your own banker with properly structured policies for the right reason, for the right time period, with the right premium amount, with the appropriate flexibility, with a basic understanding of the mechanics of their policy, dividends, direct, PUA, flexibility, catch up, whatever, all of it, not whatever, all of it. This company over that company and why. right, that's, I hope I'm communicating here, okay? And then this, I want to say that a couple of things. I want to tie this up. This is a couple of more points that I want to make. Number one, as far as a reference, Nelson Nash, Becoming Your Own Banker, page 12, fifth edition. I made a good living in life insurance sales for over 30 years. Knowing how dividend-paying life insurance works is an essential ingredient to it all. And I would think that you would want an understanding of a dividend-paying whole life insurance. And I think you would want to work with somebody who has an understanding of dividend-paying whole life insurance. Not just, oh, I know how the policy works. That, yeah, I know how the policy works. And I know why this particular policy or that particular company and this particular structure would check all the boxes that you're looking for. I think I'm being gracious. When I say half of the quote unquote professional agents and advisors that claim to be in the Infinite Banking footprint need to, like, this describes them directly, and they should go to some First Works and Fundamental Resources, Becoming Your Own Banker, all right, and learn, understand how dividend-paying life insurance works. I mean, if Nelson said it was an essential ingredient, I'm like, who am I to say, yeah, Nelson, life insurance, all those years, all of those premiums, all of those things that you finance, yeah, nah. Okay. And then I want to get to the next one. Five, dividends in bold, page 87, Becoming Your Own Banker. The earnings of a life insurance policy based on the company's mortality, expense, and investment experience during the year. When dividends are used to buy additional paid-up insurance at no cost to the owner, the cash value of the additions become guaranteed at that time. This value will increase with time, but cannot decrease. And I just want to go back talking that might be aimed toward company selection. I know I'm squeezing a lot in here in a dividend talk. I get it. But I'm going to go back when I first mentioned the general formula that life insurance companies use to determine a dividend. Let's go back there. Go back there with me. Interest factor, mortality factor. Nelson references it again here, and he did on page 23 as I referenced. James, why are you bringing that up? When it comes to company selection, you know, there are companies out there that need business in a given year so bad that they will table shave, is what the term is within the industry. I know every industry has a bunch of its own language and it's all boring. Table shave. Oh, I am a way overweight diabetic. I have health issues, and therefore I'm not a standard rating. But if I'm only asking for so much death benefit, the company will table shave. Give me a standard policy. So I make, you know, all life insurance, you got to go through underwriting health, right? Premium dollars there, you know, you pay for it with money, you qualify for it with your health. I almost, you know, have a hard time spitting that out. It's terminology here in the industry all the time. Okay. I'm relatively unhealthy. I'm not a standard risk to the life insurance company. But because they need business in a given year, they will give me a standard rating. It's called table shaving. I really only qualify for table 2, 3, 4, 5, B, C, D, or E, but they're going to give me standard. Maybe it's a low rating. I'm table B, but they're going to give me preferred or super preferred. Will that just knowing what you know, and you don't have to know much other than what I said. I know you know a lot, and you probably know more than me, but just thinking that through, if I qualify for this, but they're going to give me the best rating ever, charge me less for the same death benefit that I would have qualified for, is then that mortality risk, the mortality experience, is in the dividend formulary? So if I can round that up, company selection. Do you really want to do business with the company? Have you ever even thought about it? Have you ever even heard about it? Have you ever even given a second thought? You, the agent, you, the buyer, you're going to go in there and give me a better rating. You're going to adjust the mortality risk unnaturally. If I qualify for A and you're only going to give me a D, or backwards, I qualify for a D, a rating, and you're going to give me preferred, that is going to show up in the company's mortality experience. Probably not now, but it sure will later. I mean, that's just one small side note on company selection, right? Does a company have to borrow money to pay their dividend that they declared? Do they have to sell their assets, or some of their assets, to pay a dividend that they declared? Yeah. What is the solution to all that? In my humble opinion, is your understanding. Simple, basic, fundamental understanding. All right? Just learn. Get educated. And it's not that complicated. I say, oh, learn, get educated. Just do some simple reading and then thinking. Some of this stuff on its face is not, of course, you wouldn't agree with. On its face, you wouldn't agree with it, all right? If you qualify for a B, and I know we all want to be super preferred, and I don't want to belabor this point, but, you know, if I'm actually a rated table D and you give me preferred, I don't want to own that company personally. I want to own the company that has a forthright, thorough but fair underwriting process. Yep, it's longer than I want to spend going through that. I get all that. But which company is going to be more accurate, do you think, on their dividends? The one that does a proper underwriting. Okay, I digress. I just wanted to tie those two together. Anyway, I had fun. I hope you find this, you know, educational at least, less entertaining and more educational. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.